Yes. The quality apart from an object, the essential essence of a larger thing, the human in the being, the behind what you're seeing, the creature or creator created in the dark, lurking, seemingly smirking till you squint real hard and realize you are them. Wheels that make you till you break them, reshape them. Power lives in your hands, your actions are your methods for dealing with what you feel. Process and sort what's really real. Yeah, you, truth seeker of wealth who started humbly in the study of you. Young seer through, outcome outdone each time from the last. Think slow, see fast, outlast. This is not the book, but the abstract. And this should fix everything.
Hello everyone, this is Mom checking in live from the back of your mind. And with me, sitting here, we have...
Little Penny. I'm just here because I'm thinking about Clint.
And along with I Know Penny, we have some special guests here joining us today. They'd like to introduce themselves as well.
Hello. This is Danielle. And I am a certified massage therapist and practicing acupuncturist, currently getting my master's in oriental medicine, and do a whole lot of things around Chinese medicine.
Hello, my name is Justice. I am the founder and CEO to Ultimate Cycling Uganda. I do professional cycling, and my latest project is building bikes, so I have Gorilla Bikes going.
Nice. Well, for starters, thank all of you for being here. This is going to be a very interesting conversation because today's episode is called Operating Doomsday. And in order to operate Doomsday, it's going to have to be Doomsday. So, how do you guys imagine the world ending? What does it look like to you?
I feel like the world is going to end from gentrification.
Damn.
But I don't even say that to be super, I guess not even to be combative or whatever, just jumping on the anti-gentrification bandwagon, but just thinking of how gentrification works at all, it homogenizes entire neighborhoods so that there's no more diversity, and there's no more thing that allowed the culture that allowed that place to be what it was is, it gets removed. And so like when you remove the culture, you're removing all the ways that people are have found works to work with the way that they're with the place that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wipe that out, it's just it's trying to transplant all these like kinds of ideals and like ways of life that don't necessarily belong
mm-hmm.
everywhere, and then it's just super destructive. It just doesn't work. So I feel like that's going to be the end of the world.
Because that one is, it sounds more like the death of ideas and certain kinds of interactions and things that would exist in certain spaces as they then get replaced with a new version of other ideas and such. So that's definitely, yeah, that's really cool. That one to me feels less anxiety provoking, but more so upsetting and like sad.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of control some of that to an extent, except you can't.
Thanks. I like that one. That's a good one.
Thanks. I've been thinking about it
a
little bit.
I'm going to hit it with that one-liner.
Do it.
Everybody's going to die.
And so how does that equal doomsday of like, so everyone's going to die at the same time?
Okay. So you know how we had this conversation earlier and it was like the end of the world and you guys' pain. And what's the name of your titled works together?
Our piece is called The End of the World.
The
yes.
End of the World.
Yes.
Yes.
In space that's depicted as a giant octopus that is stretching out over the ocean
mm-hmm.
and touching the shores.
Yeah. So I kind of was thinking, I was like, huh, this is interesting. And it kind of just made me think, well, that's just a bigger elaboration of death for each and every one of us. And that kind of having that idea starts to make you think about your own, that you're not going to be here forever. And how do you deal with those kind of things? And what does it mean to pass down things or have legacy, culture?
Mm.
And also, too, like the end of the world, it's like after you die, that world that you knew is no longer there. So it is kind of technically the end of the world, yeah? Your world. Yeah.
I can see that. What do you think, Justice?
I think that with the trade wars and all this political unrest happening, it's just going to be allies coming together to basically take the whole rest of the world to war. Just thinking, I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary political turmoil happening that could in the end trigger that very, very unnecessary or least expected scenarios happening. Much as I like to keep very unaware of what's happening, somehow I end up knowing anyway, and it's pretty stressful as an individual, as another ordinary everyday man. There's not a lot I can do about it, but it's quite stressful to see how passionate all these global leaders are over things that absolutely gentlemen especially could sit on any other day and figure out. Hence the idea of women should be world leaders. And but as per what it is now, I think that it's very, very easy to go to war. And I know that I do not anticipate that everyone would be blown to die, but that would definitely rip the world apart, hence the beginning of the end. Yeah.
And you're just talking about, like, countries fighting each other, not even, like, people, like, smaller kinds of battles between different peoples with different ideologies in general, like, on the internet or something.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that would definitely be paired with that. You would definitely see the leaders arguing or, you know, expressing their patriotic wants, and then definitely their almost, like, bots, in a sense, all those patriots that support them blindly. They don't even question or consider, oh, maybe we should actually think about what's going on in the other place or something. It's all just, no, we need that land. We need, fuck it. This is all we have. It's really weird.
Yeah, but more to it is, for instance, North Korea having all this nuclear ammunition and apparently all, I mean, nuclear weapons will basically impact generations and more to come down the line. And so if children are born without limbs or without organs just because of what happened on the lands, then ideally that's a very slow beginning to the end. I mean, what sense does it really add to the rest of the world for millions and billions of people to be born abnormal?
It's interesting. That's a cool array of scenarios.
Yes.
Though you have two similar ones though, with gentrification and it being like the death of certain cultures and ideas existing in a space, along with like permanent death on a both micro and macro scale, where people die, so the ideas would eventually fade away with them if they haven't gotten it embedded in something else or someone else. You can definitely still have a similar situation of those ideas and something died, nothing's present in that space. And then two, the one that kind of gets dangled over our faces a lot with another world war kind of scenario, where it's like our leader isn't really the best at having relationships with other people.
Just like most leaders for some reason.
Somehow.
All?
Yeah. Somehow. And so then there's constantly this idea or fear that if we're not ready, something could happen. And what that is, who knows? What if they stop giving us this resource and then we bomb them? Or what if we take a resource and then they hurt us? There are a lot of different ways to go with it. For me, it was more so the gradual decline via access to certain resources too. So not necessarily gentrification, but because the earth is evicting us. So eventually the earth is going to cut off the water. Eventually the earth will not deliver us groceries anymore with food and things like that, at least in certain places. So people are going to start dying off, and then you have to flock to where that small garden still exists in order to be able to just eat or just drink water or something, because there isn't that much water even. And then that would be like the point of no return, where it's like the population is declining just so fast because there isn't enough to sustain all of us anymore, and then it's just whatever happens, happens.
It's like all those post-apocalyptic movies where they're like, that one where they're stringing their sweat into strainers so they can drink the water.
Because
there's not any water anymore. And they're like, and even the intro to that other show, they're just like, humans didn't listen. And now, like, a gallon of water costs like $50.
You know, can I say something too? So I think you hit on a few good points, Jew, or mom. Excuse me.
Mom for you.
But, you know, kind of that idea of like, yes, those resources, us not having them anymore. And really what it makes me think of is really not being in touch with the land because we're not in touch with ourselves. And I think it goes back down to that. You know, something we always get harped on about in Chinese medicine school is like the three treasures is one word for them in English. And it's pretty much heaven, human, and earth. And humans are kind of in this in between. And it's our responsibility to have this dialogue back and forth with heaven, with earth. And I don't speak of heaven as like this religious, big, one God in the sky. I speak of it as like kind of this unknown, you know, where our ancestors came from or are there, and kind of this not knowing of things, and that dialogue happening on a regular basis for us. And kind of like when you went to certain places, you understood and was able to observe the land, what kind of crops would grow there, knowing to till the soil. And it's kind of like that whole industrialization that we talk about a lot, kind of having huge effects on the world, and still to this day have massive effects on kind of the economy and how people live. But like all these monocrops that are all over the states, different countries, and going out to Africa with Justice, like all the sugar cane just owned by one family, just like acres and acres and acres. It was crazy, like the whole countryside. And yeah, we kind of like get into these whole big monocrops for money, but not necessary to, I don't know, it's not really about eating it. It's not about like nourishing ourselves. It's about money. It's not about putting our hands in the land and having this relationship and just, it's not about those things anymore.
That reminds me of Ishmael, where he mentions to the human how really the difference between takers and givers. And
yes.
He really broke it down on the levers. Yeah, in the simplest terms of thinking about when people want food, we keep getting that no matter what almost. We can order it from, or we can have a store import it from another place.
Yes.
So that we continue getting it. So it's constantly there, even if it's not in season. And it seems almost strange to an extent, because when you look at then those other animals that actually live off the earth, when there's no more blueberries, there's no more blueberries. And then they just eat the other thing that the land is still providing, but nearby, instead of being like, oh, I need blueberries, I'm so sad, oh my God. And or planting and doing all this stuff to try and force more blueberries, when in reality it's like, you don't need that.
It's
you
not the
really
season.
Want, exactly,
yeah.
You really want this, but the timing is not for this. It's a sign you need to just procure other things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Try and do other things. Get that mixture in there instead of having, several acres of one thing.
Yeah.
And then all of that turns back into one thing, which is money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of it being like, hey, we have a farm and, I don't know, a quarter of an acre is sugarcane, and then the other three quarters are three other things.
Mm-hmm.
And all that together
we
actually can help feed.
Yeah,
it can help feed, like, all these other people. But understanding, too, the scale of farmers want to still provide for the city and also make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's hard to have, like, that kind of...
Yeah.
Access still
yeah.
with this many people.
But think
and
about it too.
Weird.
Oh,
point.
Can I just say
yes,
this
ahead,
one
ahead,
thing? Okay. But also, going back to like us living on certain land, what's actually inhabitable
right,
for us
right.
to live on?
Right.
You think about Las Vegas,
nope.
Los Angeles.
Nope.
Those are deserts.
Yeah.
Why are people living there?
I mean, why
they literally
are they
siphon so much water, so many resources.
It's like, why do they have all the cows in deserts too? They grow grass in deserts so they can feed cows so that we can kill them and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense. Like, just put them in a place where you don't have to grow the grass.
Yeah.
Like, what? Even that alone, like, what are we doing? Like, it kind of, what you're saying made me just think how we're really going to have to change culture and the way that we perceive like our relationship with the earth in general, because yeah, that's a very narcissistic way of interacting with anything, of like, I want this right now, so I'm gonna get it and make it so that it happens. Like, but we've been kind of, well, like in America, kind of trained to be that way, like, and you can have anything you want, you know what I mean,
the
like
push of a button,
yeah,
too.
Amazon Prime, like
right now
it'll come yeah
it'll
like,
come to you right now,
yeah. Yeah,
as we have our 5 pounds of guacamole.
Yeah.
Hey man, we're not gonna have this another month or two, you know.
I know,
it's all about what the land is providing us with, and the land provided us with an opportunity for you to make some guacamole.
Yeah man, they were gonna go bad if we didn't make the guac.
Yeah, we would have spoiled
the but avocado. Right, this is the thing, this is like this dilemma here, right?
Yeah.
It's like we live in this world of convenience, and then it's almost inconvenient to do it another way, or it takes longer, it takes more time, the sustainable way. And so you're like, almost feel like, okay, well, I don't have enough time, so I need to go to the grocery store. And here you have all these things, and you're just like, well, I live in California, so that means I love avocados and have to have them year round.
Yeah.
And for literally almost every meal.
But even that was designed, like, they didn't, at first, not invented avocados, but whoever introduced them as a culinary, like, exciting thing in California, they tried to do it first. Like, people were like, no, that's disgusting. Like, no one's going to want avocados. And then they did something where they marketed it really good to, like, oh, it goes with so many things. And then people were like, oh, my God, I love avocados. And now it's, like, in ice cream and salads and everything.
It's the new crack.
Yeah.
In California.
But they marketed it that way to
yeah.
make people want it.
Right.
Like, it wasn't because people were craving them all the time.
Because it became, so that's apparently a thing too that happens every year. So recently that happened with Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
Where suddenly everyone was like, whoa, Brussels sprouts are amazing. You cook them with, you know, all these things. And it's like, well, no shit.
Obviously.
It's going to taste better if you season it with this.
And
put
spices
yeah,
on
right,
it.
Right, like all these other
try
things.
Before.
Right, but then.
People
know,
just been boiling them.
Oh,
eating them raw, just popping them in
their
mouth. But it kind of shows, yeah, it's like there are so many things that would really treat you well and be suitable if it's used properly, but then we haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
And then the systems in play aren't for health,
mm-hmm.
like at all. And that was the next question I actually wanted to bring up to you guys, was because with living in America, it's more so geared around gaining and losing money.
Yeah.
Neither of those things are bad, because if you understand the concept of money, it needs to move, or
yeah.
else you are losing.
Yeah.
You can still have those $30, but somehow it's not going to be the same dollar
yes.
as
right.
it was 10 minutes ago. So then how do you, in still thinking about, you know, operating Doomsday and the things that are happening around that, how do you kind of maintain your own health when so much is fleeting, there is so much that makes it inconvenient to be able to go into the better ways that will kind of help you feel better, even get access or use certain things better.
Yeah.
Man. I used to have this crippling fear of, like, dying old and broken. Or just not even dying, but being old and broken. And, like, unable to, like, do normal things, I guess. Like, function. I, like, losing bodily function and also being reliant on, like, pharmaceutical meds. I was terrified of that idea because I was going through a lot of, like, I was trying to heal from with a chronic disease, basically, and that, what was the question? How do I heal? Most recently, I've been meditating more and, like, working on my mental health, and that has made, I don't know if it's made the biggest difference, but it feels like a very big difference. Like, I feel like it's helped me unlock certain levels of healing and just taking care of myself. I guess all that to say is just figuring out what works for me and trying to not do too much, because I feel like there's so much going on in the world, and then there's always so much to do that really, like, making sure that I can try and take a break is one of the biggest ways that I've been trying to take care of myself.
Yeah, the healing comes, especially over the years, I pretty much started my first business, which I did share with Danielle earlier, at 19, and it was so interesting to see how everything came in place and fast forward to where pretty much present day. I had a very interesting 2019, really, from digesting the idea of building a massive gym, apparently the biggest in East Africa, and spending about $1 million US. And I was so into the groove of it, getting things done if and whenever any service provider let us down a couple of days. We were so time bound and wanted everything to happen, so we met a deadline, which was November 1st. The good news is we still made it. We opened, we launched later in December and went business. But after all that said and done, towards the end of the year, pretty much December, something dawns more and more on me. The operations of that space is so draining that I started to hide, to run away. Like, I saw males coming in, I'm like, holy shit, no. I don't want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Either panel is broken down the, you know, off the roof, or either there's a pipe, a bit of the plumbing is broken, and there's a splash or pool of water down. And so I started to get very conscious of what might go wrong, you know, because we are after an impression, and not just an impression, but we really want something cool to happen with this space. The anticipation was big and glad it's happening, but I started to get stressed. And every time Danielle told me, you gotta be grateful, you gotta find a way to approach it, else you're resenting it or it's causing you more stress. Yes. And I'm rather thinking of spending 2020 in a very, I just want to basically go back more to my show. I just want to spend time to heal me. I just want more time to myself. And I'm trying to be as withdrawn as possible from work, or rather from the operations of every other business that I should be taking care of, because I find it more peaceful, chilling, being intentional about how I spent 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about doing business. I like it. But I rather find it more healing, more peaceful to take time aside and just do nothing. So that's helping me a lot.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That makes me think, one of the things that I learned recently about rest and healing is, like, your body actually needs to be in a state of rest in order to be able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're in flight or fight mode, like, all the
you're
time.
Fighting.
You're either in fight or flight, or you're in rest and recoup.
I have been fighting.
Yeah. So,
I have been fighting.
Yeah. even realizing that made something click. I was like, whoa, I'm just stressed out and worried all the time, and that's why my body hasn't been able to relax and heal itself. So it's like that really is super important.
And I like how Danielle says, if something wrong is going on, then your body will tell you. You know, it's how conscious you are to pick on that and listen or eat for you to seek healing. And I mean, I had all these constant headaches every morning. Like, you go to sleep, 12 hours of sleep, wake up with a headache. Day one, two, three, definitely, you know. And again, Danielle's practice acupuncture, you know, gave me a good treatment that really pushed my momentum, and I was able to run through the next couple of days.
Yeah, it lasted for a few days.
Yeah.
Do it a little bit more often. Yeah. But yeah, I guess for me, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. It's a very long story. Why I got into the healthcare field, from literally being a full-time artist and enjoying every moment of it to really getting burnt out of just the industry and the lifestyle and the kind of, I don't know, attitudes and culture that came with it, that it just didn't really match who I was when it came down to it. And when I found medicine and a different way to approach it outside of the Western approach, it just turned into this undesirable passion that I could not let go of and could not stop thinking about. And it went from me finishing massage school, getting licensed, to enrolling in acupuncture school, not knowing what to expect, having no understanding of what really acupuncture was or Chinese medicine, and found myself just blown away by all the tools from so many different angles that it gave me and ways to perceive and associate life on a different, just a different way. That really gave me tools to help navigate life a lot more balanced. And when I say balance, I don't mean a very static place. Balance is really those small ups and downs. It's understanding that they're gonna come. I, you know, finally have come to a place this year just realizing like I can only be ready for so much. And I can hope for the best, but know that at some point there's going to be some lesson that says, Danielle, you need to remember where you came from. And here's a little bit of just kind of lessons and hardships just for you to go through. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't been able over the years to actually put forth some of these tools. And for me, a lot of them go back to my body. Having a personal practice, I practice something that's called Qigong and Tai Chi, which is a movement art of Chinese medicine. And I've been doing that for about 7 years. I've tried to introduce people to it and host women's healing workshops around it. But what I've actually experienced when doing these workshops, people struggle so much with being in their bodies and just standing one place. People can't be still. For me, the whole reason why I got into it was because I was an athlete for 11 years and found myself actually challenged by that thought and physical sensation, that it was so challenging for me to be still, to be uncomfortable in my body with doing the most simplest movements, that I was like, oh, I gotta do this. This is so cool. This is so, it just, yeah. And so for me, just really movement arts helps me through a lot of stuff. When I get stressed out, like all of a sudden I just start moving my body. And all of a sudden I do it long enough and come to a different place. It's really just kind of letting time pass. Doing something with yourself to let it pass. Yeah.
And then all those, I hear everyone coming to a place of acceptance in seeing their heightened awareness of whatever it was that was going on essentially within them, that then allowed them to take a more mindful approach essentially. And that led to forgiveness, that led to actually taking like self time, essentially, and going tapping back into yourself and allowing yourself to say like, what do you need right now? There's a lot happening, but what do you need, at least in this moment?
Yeah.
So that you can eventually do other things.
Yeah.
But hey, you need something, and then you guys all figure that out, and it's that next step too of like actually walking that walk.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you brought up the people having a hard time with kind of being in the stillness of their own body, because that's what you hear all the time with meditation.
Yes.
That's what you hear all the time with people who are even at jobs where they're sitting down all day.
Yeah.
Versus people who are walking around a lot at their jobs, they usually don't complain about that aspect of it because it allows you to stay awake. Time goes by a lot faster. There's a lot more things happening. You're breathing better. You're not in as much pain versus you're sitting there typing away or on the phone all day. At one point, it could feel something like there's a flare-up of stress versus when you're very mobile, that flare-up tends to come way later when you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just focusing on the pain and just on those things. And that's still a sign to take a break.
Yeah.
You who is standing up all day, sit down real quick.
Yeah.
You know, feel yourself out, stretch. You who is sitting down all day, get up, walk real quick.
Yeah.
Feel yourself out and then go back.
Yeah. What you're explaining are two highs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this is an extreme on this side with people constantly walking around, moving on a daily basis is what they do for work and it's constant. And then you have the other extreme with people just sitting down. Those are both extremes. Balance is somewhere in between and a happy medium with ups and downs of those.
Right.
Yeah.
And Tai Chi is so awesome for that because there's still moments of stillness and yet there's still not slow motion, but motion really that allows for that balance to feel, once you tap into that zone, it feels so good.
And I feel like that's the one practice that I've tried that actually, like, I do feel like I've gotten a workout after, but it's also... It also really just helps you feel the state that your body is in. Like, at first, when you're trying to tell, like, at first, before, I was doing kickboxing, Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And that was like, it's like, yeah, I'm kicking ass, I'm punching stuff, I'm kicking things, it helps me relieve stress. And it's like, what is this? We're just standing here, like,
yeah.
Chill, you know, like, because I kind of probably avoided it for similar reasons to why people might avoid like yoga or something.
Yes.
Like this is just like you're just laying there and it's not a workout, you know, like, but it is.
It is.
But
Pilates.
I feel like it's like the ego thing, the ego coming in and being like, this isn't a real like sport.
My favorite is when people come to the Tai Chi class who are athletes, who are workout all the time. And then our very first exercise that our Sifu has us do is just, our feet are shoulder width apart, our knees slightly bent, tailbone tucked, our back is straight, neck nice and long, our chin slightly tucked, and then we just have our arms. And it's just standing meditation. And give it about like a minute, 5 minutes. All of a sudden, these people are like, this, what are we doing? We're just standing, are shaking and sweating and hot and uncomfortable. And they didn't understand how much of a workout it really is because it takes, you know, being an athlete for so long and studying massage therapy, we understand like, you know, the muscles and how they work together. So you're using these very large muscles for most of our movements throughout our lives, our daily movements. But these very subtle stability muscles, the things that help us breathe, relax, just get in tune with what's going on in our body aren't really being used. That's why you have all these aches and pains and people stressed out and they got one shoulder super high, one shoulder super low. And it's a workout, man. It's
so
a workout.
That makes me think of like intuition and like listening to your intuition as a way that, or as one way that we could heal or help slow the coming of the end of the world by learning about ourselves more.
Oh my God.
And then we can understand, like, if you have an interest to understand yourself better, I feel like you have an interest in how to understand the way the world works better and the way that your relationship with the world is different.
Yes.
Like,
how so?
I feel like it's a similar thought process and a similar kind of curiosity that it requires to be like, I'm quieting my like thoughts so that I could just see, listen to my body and see what's happening, in the same way that you could go outside here in Hawaii where we are and be like, that cloud over there is about, like, I can see the wind is pushing it this way, so it's about to rain in that city right next to us, but that's something that it would take you looking up at the sky and like not thinking like, oh, I gotta check the weather website, when you can simply be like, well, it's about to rain, and it's like not anything hectic, it's just paying attention but wanting to. And I feel like that's one of the requirements to healing too, is you have to really want to, like, actually want to.
It's kind of like what you were talking about, mom, earlier, when you were saying, like, this chaos in the world is kind of being reflected in the state of human affairs. And for me, I actually think it's the opposite way around. I actually think
the human affairs chaos
is
spilling over.
Yes, and it actually shows.
Reflects.
And I think, for me, I always think about, too, the emotions. And it's like the body is literally having all these outward expressions of anger, excessive joy, worry, fear, doubt. And it's like this way of our body, that's the only way our body can communicate what's going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to spill over, because now it's like so many people are in this state, not connected with their family, not connected with their friends, not connected with the earth that they walk on, all the resources that is given us, and just not also that heaven aspect of just being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Being grateful for our grandparents, our parents who put us here, our great grandparents, all this history that comes before us for us to even be here, right? It's this continuation. We're not having our own lives. It's like, actually, our parents are a part of that, and our grandparents are. And it's just really, I think it's the other way around. I think us being in chaos and not with each other, and really that chaos that's going on inside of us on a daily basis is reflected in our external environment.
I feel like our external environment plays a big factor, though. Like, how, maybe even though we've shaped our external environment, like in that example I just gave of like going outside and just looking at the sky, we were talking about this the other day. Like, I never really saw such a bright sky, like so many stars, until I was in a space where you could actually look up and see stars. Like, if you're in an urban environment, you don't get to see that because there's too much light pollution. So it's hard to feel grateful for something that you never saw.
That's not true.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying, like, for you, like, it's easier to have that moment of, like, oh my God, the world's amazing, if you, like, can go outside and be like, look at this nature, right? But if you go outside and you just see, like, industrial shit, you're not going to feel as immediately connected to that.
Because even,
you know,
the industrialization is man. Versus being on the beach in the middle of the night and there's no one there, and there's like literally a hole in the cloud, and it's like, oh, I'm looking through the sky almost.
But I actually think that is the byproduct of us ways before not going outside and being like, oh, I'm grateful for this.
Oh, for
and
sure.
It's kind of come to the point now where it's just like you see less and less and less nature, because we are less and less and less connected with it, and we don't want to be connected with it.
And
we don't.
How do you think we as a human, or we as people, I guess, got to that point? How do you guys think that kind of unfolded? Because we weren't always there. We were at one point navigating with the stars, and like using
to turn to another conversation.
Using certain cues and signs from nature to be able to then continue communicating with each other and with ourselves. But now we have a lot of, it's not necessarily just capitalism though, because they're distancing themselves.
Slavery.
Capitalization, colonization.
That's still capitalism. Slavery.
Yes,
capitalism.
Yeah.
Slavery.
I think that's when it really, I think there was a gist of it, because of course war and fights have always happened, and I'm gonna start talking about.
It could be like
exactly
just,
yeah. So exactly it
the
all
taking.
Comes back to that. All comes back to that person wanting something because they feel like they don't have something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
or that they don't have
enough.
Self-righteous
and that they deserve
mm-hmm.
to
right.
have
and
that.
So that now that they finally got something, they demand more regardless
mm-hmm.
of the consequences. And
mm-hmm.
at least back then, which is, yeah, right before slavery would have started.
But we actually
but,
know? Okay, because this is where I start getting into all these things. I feel like, how do we actually know that's what our great-great ancestors were really navigating things like? For me, I feel like, yes, maybe there were conflicts, which are natural. Once again, right? Those ups and downs. For us to say that those conflicts aren't going to happen is not the world and it's not life.
Right.
So those conflicts were natural, but I think to the extreme that they're at now came at a certain point when certain types of folks kind of went to this way of like being so greedy and going from land to land to land and saying, you know what, we want certain things, we want certain resources, this is what we're going to do, we're going to take people, this is now what your land is for, you can only make this crop, and it turning into this capitalization of these extremes, like more and more conflicts have continued to just grow out of control because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with that one. I don't think our ancestors were, and for us to even like say,
well,
okay, that's
oh, ancestors were what?
I don't think they were on these extremes like we are. I think conflict did happen. Of course it did. But I also think they had an understanding with the land that they were on and how to navigate land, how to sustain themselves, how to trade when they needed to. And, you know, at some point conflict happened and then it went back to just being trade and this and that. But I think to the extreme that it has happened, that's something else. And
yeah.
I don't think that's what our ancestors were doing.
I feel like we, like technology and culture has created such luxuries that we don't have to know how to do those things anymore. So it's not a requirement.
Well, that's, you can, we don't, you can say we don't need to know how to do those things anymore. But in all actuality, that's probably the most important thing
we
that
do,
we should know
but
how
I mean,
to do.
Within the context of like what, like how shit is taught now, it's like not taught that we have to. That's what I meant to say.
So this what makes me think
like they don't teach you how to do any like life skills in school. It's just how to get a job essentially, and work for somebody. That's all they teach you.
Yeah,
in school.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like,
but this is what it makes me think of, like our very first ancestors. Who the fuck taught them? Who taught them?
They listen
or
to themselves.
Exactly.
We don't teach our kids to, well, maybe
but,
we do now, but like it wasn't a requirement in school to teach, to learn to think for yourself, aside from like critical thought class, which is
yeah.
like not a requirement. Again, it's just.
Right. And two, thinking about the context then of our very first ancestors, it would be there in this land of excess.
Yeah.
And there's almost infinite access.
Or abundance.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
a better way to put
or,
it.
Yeah, abundance rather. And two, there's very little competition with other people who now understand how important this is.
Mm-hmm.
So like those first few can learn and then they have them. But once you have other tribes that are popping up other places and learning new things, it's kind of like if we allow then globalization where we're all on the same level, there's almost like an aspect that's unrealistic. But then two, if we kind of had the bubble where it's like, we use this here and it's going to work and we can kind of nourish the information and knowledge here. Two, there's still that void of, but they don't understand some of this. So it gets really tricky, essentially, because
oh.
I totally see it. It's totally like, you want them to have the skills and access, but also just the mindset. At the same time, it's hard to get there because there's so many pros and cons for a lot of them, and people are really indecisive now.
Yes.
And they feel like they have to choose the right path, and they have to choose it right now, or else
yeah.
all hope is lost.
Yes.
And that's called catastrophizing, when it's
yes.
kind of like an all or nothing, if I don't do this and it's going to snowball into this worse stuff. And that all is coming from anxiety, which is future oriented.
Yes.
Anxiety prevents you from really being able to see what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. Because fear lets you do that. Fear is present oriented. Fear lets you tap into the present moment. Things kind of slow down for some people. Other things speed up and they feel hyper aware, all this stuff. Whereas anxiety makes you feel numb and almost like you want to break and stuff isn't working. And it's almost like a glitch.
Yeah.
And that in itself is so unhealthy. And yeah, we've definitely got to a place where we just haven't been able to, like, it's okay, whatever you chose, as long as you once again had the mindset, you're using it healthily and you're actually incorporating into it.
I feel like it's kind of like a conversation we were having earlier where we're all kind of in a marathon and just need to take a break and figure out what the fuck we need.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what do we need to do? And
then
we can use all of our powers combined.
So I love when people bring that up because I feel like a lot of people have really big ideas of what they need.
Mm.
And almost like to just challenge folks with like the most simplistic stuff ever. Like, can we just work on maybe stretching? Don't even work on a daily routine. Don't try to show up every day. This is what I'm going to do at 7 a.m. This is what I'm no.
Yeah.
Just like when something comes up, can we just work on like, okay, I feel like I have this back pain. What am I going to do about it? Let me move my body. Okay, let me get up. Let me figure out what works for it. What makes it better? What makes it worse?
Yeah.
Like having that kind of dialogue with ourselves.
Right.
Because, and not
like,
putting all the pressure on you.
Too, yes,
right?
Take
because
that
like
pressure
y'all have
off.
Said too, our bodies are naturally geared towards trying to heal itself.
Yes.
And
always.
Also because of just where we are now, we can't say it's always been like this, but where we are now, it's proof that our bodies know how to heal themselves too. It knows what it needs and wants, but
yes.
Then as you've been saying, we haven't been talking to it, so
no.
We don't speak that language, so it's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, my back is really hurting, and then it turns out you've been eating a lot of this one thing that ends up leading you to do certain kinds of activities that end up leading you to do certain other behaviors that aren't really good in all pairs, and it's like, oh well, now you have that posture.
We even get rid of it being a bad behavior.
True, yeah.
Like,
it's
I almost,
it's just a behavior.
Yes,
it's
just
a behavior.
Yeah. What's important
subjective.
Is for you to bring awareness to what it does for you.
Yeah.
That's it. Not what it does for someone else.
Yeah.
Not if it's good or bad. What's happening? What is it doing? And that's it. Just do that.
Just
do that.
Only. That removes
just that.
So much, like, it removes so much, I guess, pressure when you do it that way. Because even thinking about, like, gluten. Like, I haven't been eating gluten this year, and, like, my battle with trying to figure out what I can and cannot eat, or I call it a battle, but it's,
yeah.
Like, it was, like, it felt very stressful from being, like, oh, I gotta, like, write down everything I eat at every meal, and then I gotta write down my symptoms of what happens after the, and then it was just, like, me on my phone all day, just, like, what did I eat again? Like, just trying to remember everything, and it was even more stressful, because I was, like, what am I, like... Am I doing this for like, oh, I'm still feeling in pain, you know, like I'm still experiencing all this stuff at the same time. So it's hard to even focus in general.
Yes.
But then it was like, once I kind of like remove, I like stopped stressing about, I stopped doing the log thing. Cause I was like, look, I'm gonna eat something. I'm either going to feel good or bad.
Yeah.
Like,
it's actually pretty immediate.
Yeah.
It happens within like 30 minutes, an hour,
right.
2 hours. You're like, bad. Was not what I was supposed to be.
Right.
Doing.
It's like,
that made me feel a little bit bloated, a little gassy, or I'm more energy or less energy. Like, it's pretty instant.
And then it just is what it is because you just know what will happen. It's like a little pop quiz every time. But like, what earlier you were telling me, like, this pineapple upside down cake is so good. And I was like, are you sure you don't want some even though it's gluten? And I'm like, I'm getting joy out of you describing how good it is, more so than I would get from eating one bite of it and then having that moment fleet and then feeling like guilty that I ate gluten and all that stuff. It's just like, because I know I've reasoned it out. Like, it's just, I'm not going to do that to myself. It's fine. I'm not mad. I would rather you eat it and enjoy it and then me be like, yay, I'm so happy that you're happy. Because it's just stress out about like, oh my god, I can never eat cake again. Like, oh well, like, oh well, my body doesn't like it. You know,
there's
it's
so
okay. There's hella
also
other
you've
great
never
things.
Had in your life that other people are like, this is the greatest thing I've ever had.
Right.
So you never even know what it, you don't know what it is.
Right.
And you're fine.
Right.
You have your favorites. You have your dislikes. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just keeping it there. Like, because it's the awareness that actually allows you to change something. It's, and it's actually awareness that's built up over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, all right, now I'm aware. I'm aware that there's a lot of water pollution. So now I'm aware. And it's like, it's like a build up. You need a little bit more than just like initial awareness and then that's it.
Yeah.
You're good.
I really
don't need to do
what
anymore.
You were saying earlier about, or the other day when we were talking about awareness and like, where do you get this information that you're so aware of? Because if it's not from you, then like,
who?
Yeah, or like an act, like a study or something. Like, what are you?
Yeah,
you're just speculating and stressing
out
about
random
stuff.
Danielle keeps shutting me off all the time. I should be doing this. Oh my cardio. Oh my, like, who says and what?
Yeah.
And so for a minute, I'm like, wait a minute, who told me this? I've been avoiding this food, this drink for the last 2 years.
Oh, shoot.
How true is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not thinking about where are we getting our information from. And like this whole doomsday talk, it's like, okay. We're looking at the media. We're going online. We're hearing what friends say who probably get their stuff from the media or online somewhere. And it's like, that's your awareness right there. It doesn't go past that because you're not having a conversation with any of those people who actually live there.
Yeah, right.
So what are you really doing with this awareness? Where is it really getting you? And how is it actually helping people, the people, right, that we're so concerned about? That we're not having an actual conversation with.
This reminds me of when I was in college and there was a lot of this woke culture.
Ooh,
starting to
I think
pump
it's
up.
Still around.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. It definitely is. But now woke is damn near basic. You need to be levels beyond that where you're waking up and going to sleep at the same time.
Stop.
I'm brought up.
No,
but like, but essentially, it's something similar where people are constantly expressing like, this is the correct way, this is not.
Yeah.
But then, whenever you ask them, or at least whenever I ask them specifically, where'd you get that information from? Or I'm questioning, like, why is this woke and this isn't XYZ? I was usually just met with emotion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any actual like, oh, well, this person did this scientific study or that I've had this many conversations with this many people and this is what actually happened. It's, well, I believe it. And it's like, you know, you just made me stressed out. Because I was trying to learn and now I'm mad. So I don't want to hear, you know, it makes you double down. It's like, I don't want to hear your wokeness because you're not including my own intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And now you think that you're superior.
Right.
To those people who aren't aware yet, like you said, where's your awareness coming from?
Exactly.
How did you get to this point? Because I got to this other point too, and I can tell you just how.
Yes.
And maybe you can help me get to another point later on, but it sounds like you've chosen your island and you're going to stay there forever. And all the other people who don't get there, you sink their ships.
Yeah.
And that'd be the cancel culture of like, this isn't acceptable. You need to be here and anything else is not allowed.
Yeah. I think it's that right there that's causing this these high extremes of emotions and doomsday and fear about everything ending and war, but it's also at the same time, it's like at one point we're so focused on this major disaster and then it kind of dies down from the media and people's thoughts and words and then you don't talk about it anymore.
Right.
And then this new thing comes up and now that's the thing everybody's talking at the restaurants and
man, this just made me think about, like, how protests are, like, you have to have a protest for people to, like, care or pay attention.
Jump on the bandwagon.
So the fact that, in, like, in Hong Kong, they've been protesting for months and months and months, and
how's
it's
it going
still, I don't know, I'm not there.
Because
like,
of the virus.
Yeah.
So we just
talked
about.
Because of the virus. People were quarantined there for a while, but
I think
it was,
it's okay now. You have access to boot, but who knows if they're probably doing things the media won't even show us to the protesters there right now.
We're also not talking to these people. We don't know
right.
what the hell's going on.
We did
we
while
made,
we were there.
We went
while
there.
You were there, yes.
Yeah, and we made it, that was one of our main intentions, is like actually see what was going on as opposed to like what we're reading.
Also,
it's
shout
also
out
really
to our
hard.
Art exhibit going up in March in Oakland that will portray many of the images and memories that we caught during some of these protests.
Yes, a little love note to Hong Kong. Anyway, it made me think of, with that, with Hong Kong, and then, like, all those bots in, well, first of all, the fact that they had the protest, they've been having a protest for a long time, and it's, like, in the reports on it, it's, like, they're still protesting, but, like,
right.
it's not really, like, it's the same story, so they can't expand on it anymore, because nothing's happening, and they're just protesting just to stay in the news, essentially, like, not the only reason, but,
one of
yeah, and then, so that's one side. But then the other thing with China and how they had all these bots who were talking shit to everybody who was in Hong Kong or supporting Hong Kong, saying, like, kill your mother or, like...
Oh, no.
Like,
the one that said to you,
yes.
jump off a... Light yourself
yes.
on fire
oh, no.
and jump
I'm
off a building.
Emulate myself and jump off of, like, a building because I was trying to, like... I was just trying to say, like, this is what's happening in Hong Kong.
Oh,
right. He didn't
no.
even say fuck you or any kind of energy like that. It was just, this is an update.
Yeah.
And then they were like... You call this support? How about you emulate yourself
yeah.
and jump off a building for support? And it's like, how is this a conversation now?
Yeah, like,
whoa.
Where is this coming from? It was all
about?
Emotion. And then, but it's like, who's to say that they're not operating out of extreme fear of, like, because they've been taught that this is the only way that they're going to survive or whatever, you know? So it's just like all these, but then, all right. I'm
it gets deep.
Hella tangents. But with the, so that was happening. The bots were talking to Hong Kong, but then now they got the coronavirus, and then people in China are now like seen under this whole nother light because it's like
right.
people are dying from government
oh
silencing
my God.
Their own people, and it's like there's just so many.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that
can,
right there, it shows, no, that right there
shows
the possible amount of layers you can then fall under and then end up suffocating. Because
yeah.
there's so much
that was
just
a lot.
In that right, just in one area of Hong Kong, there's so many layers to it and levels. And then at the same time there's just so much that you can do too. So then it's a question too of what what are you gonna do now with what you know?
Yes.
And then what are you gonna do knowing what you can't do? Like
ooh.
How do you move on? How do you kind of continue in educating other people and kind of keeping the message alive, but not also burning yourself
mm-hmm.
in that sense of like emulating yourself because
yeah.
you're carrying that anxiety for so long. Because carrying anxiety for a long time is crippling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even if it's very subtle, really. And you can end up becoming or getting to a place where you don't do anything, you don't contribute.
Yeah.
You stop eating.
Yeah.
And then you die.
Yeah.
It's really sad when all this person needed was a hug and an affirmation that they could do it.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah. And other things to focus on. Because I just, once again, it's just like, wow, we just went really big picture. And actually outside of where we're literally sitting to a whole nother place, a whole nother country. And once again, it's like, yes, some of these experiences may have actually been seen and maybe small interactions, but I just feel like how much should you really be doing for other people when they haven't told you what they need from you
right.
one-on-one?
Yeah.
Right.
And for me, it just feels like I always go back to like, you know what? I have a lot of respect from where I come from. And I see a lot of people struggling at home. I see a lot of my friends and family struggling to this day. You know, having conversations about friends who are just like going through a lot. And it's like, okay, I'm going to talk about all these big world problems, yet here my friends and family need me today.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking about them or how I should show up for them because I'm so concerned about how I need to somehow figure out what to do. But never does that day ever come for me to figure out actually an action plan and not just words on social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, when are they ever more than just words on social media? When are they ever just more words in the streets?
All right, feeling people's actual
ears
and them feeling those words leave your lips type
of
thing. That's when the impact actually starts happening versus the echo of a keyboard.
Yeah,
typing.
It's like, what am I doing for my neighbor? What am I doing for my friends and family who actually need me in this moment? And for me, I always take it back there. And I just stop. I just say, you know what? I can't think about those things because they take me away from my body, from my personal experience on a daily basis. And no, it's not saying that I'm forgetting the world or the people, but that's where I think just intention setting and gratefulness comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, you know what? It's like, there's a lot of things going on in this world. And what the world really needs from me is for me to stay focused right here so I can ensure that I'm good, that I have the capacity to take care of my friends and family. Because you know what? Maybe it was as simple as that that really started a lot of this stuff, that we were just so not focused on what our families needed, when our little brothers and sisters needed, that it kind of got to a place, right, where all these people are just human, where somehow they have a story of abuse or of trauma or just not being heard, of not being communicated, and then they get to these places of power, and all they're doing is just passing on that shit.
Exactly.
And all these people are just like another father, another brother, and yet we stop believing in community and stop believing in each other and stop focusing on each other, that now it's gotten to a point where someone is so massive and has so much resources that they're just wreaking havoc because no one gave a shit about them as an individual. I just try to always bring it back simple. Small, small, that's so complicated for today's big world. We can't just focus on the small things here and now. Is my family doing good? Are my friends doing good?
Are you doing
good? Am I doing good? Holy
because
shit.
Because how are you supposed to help the world when you're broken?
Have you giggled today?
Giggled? Have you stretched today?
All of it's important.
And sometimes even not about those things. Have you just like been with the chaos and conflict that's going on in your life? Have you actually given it the time and effort to reflect on it so it doesn't keep happening? Or have you actually reached out to someone because you are going through a lot of shit?
Right.
Work on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, these words speak to me. I think for, again, perhaps since I was a child, I was always the one pretty much taking care of everyone else. And that stuck with me all the way. Pretty much until now, and Danielle knows by now. Like, my phone will buzz so hard that now stresses me. I started to catch that in the last year. It goes off all the time, and you're basically getting shots all angles. And there's barely time left for myself, you know. Am I okay? You know, how am I supposed to give you something that I do not have? That's the question. And that's definitely, for me, actually what I take from this conversation here and now is that it's more to take care of me and be able to give of my overflow.
Definitely.
Because, yeah,
I'm
supposed
icing
to
everybody because I'm stressed out. Like, I'm not responding to any of my friends' texts because I'm too, like, I can't handle it. Like, what does that say about how I'm managing my time in my life? Like, I'm not able to even be like, hey, what's up, friend?
That's right. How are you supposed to give the people around you who are hurting, how are you supposed to give them time if you don't have time?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to give the people you care about empathy if
you
don't have empathy for yourself?
You just cannot
give the world time.
Right.
That's
exactly.
There's not even enough time for the world.
Yeah.
It's not.
And time isn't even real.
Anyway.
Right.
Time isn't even a real thing and there's not enough of it.
Yeah.
And yet we constantly freak out over it, like all the time.
It's like that's why you have
so
to make time.
Precisely, those are the things that really inspire me about the lady next to me.
Oh my goodness.
Hey.
One of them.
Yes. We're all thankful.
So we can go around real quick and see what would, well, you just, I guess you just shared the answer to his question, so it's left to Daniel and Penny here. But what do you guys think would be the major takeaway message from this episode and conversation around starting at Operating Doomsday, but to where we are now, where we're just talking about how can you really navigate your own feelings and resources you have into how do you control your awareness?
To operate today.
Let me actually close it. Let me deliver my closing remark, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody dies.
I'll let you finish.
That is what that means. Everybody dies, so
hey,
justice, chill.
Yeah.
That's my email.
Is that
your whole email is everybody dies, so justice chill?
No.
So justice chill.
Wow.
That actually sounds like really intense.
Whoa, hold on. That
so
sounds like you're telling Batman, like, bro, chill out. Let the Joker have this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone's going to die. It's fine.
That was,
I think,
probably not the takeaway.
No, stop. Let's be real.
I think it's actually just moments like this, right? That laughter with these extreme things, and it's okay to joke about stuff, and it's okay to also be serious, and then it's okay for you to take these big ideas and then simplify them and bring them home. And so you have all these large things that you need to do. Okay, what can you do right now? And really, I think that's as simple as literally going to take a really long shower or a really long bath.
Or a really long poop.
A really long poop.
Make sure you poop.
Go poop.
Let it out.
If you ain't pooping, go see your local acupuncturist.
ASAP.
If you're not pooping, it means you're not digesting both your food.
It means a lot of things.
And your internal thoughts.
You're gonna explode is what we really said. So
it means a lot of things.
No, seriously, like, you're not digesting
I know.
Internal thoughts.
But
I'm telling them, not you.
Okay.
Well, I know you know.
Okay.
Know.
Okay. Fight. Okay. Okay. Just
open.
Okay.
Danielle's takeaway message.
Well,
okay.
I think it's just as simple as, like, okay, you have these big thoughts and all of a sudden you're stressed out about the world and all these things. And I say, you know what? Go through your phone book. Hit up the people you haven't talked to in a while. Go through your texts. I always do that. Every couple months, I literally go through my phone book. I haven't talked to so-and-so. And just reach out. It's like, you know what? You want to hang out? Just go hang out. All of a sudden, you notice you feel a little bit better. And then maybe you can navigate what you really want to do and how you really want to make a change. And I think actually it comes down to finding your passion. I think it comes down to that. We got to find our
passion. Real quick, could you define passion? Just so I can dot some
pages. Ooh. Passion is God.
You want to take a moment while
I'm going to take a moment.
Okay. Well, Penny, what's your takeaway message for the listeners?
My takeaway message is listen to your intuition. Think about your relationship with yourself and your surroundings, and like your friends and family, your cipher, if you will. And also remember to giggle. If you could figure out how to giggle, I feel like you'll be okay. Because in that, it means you're being present, like, and attentive, which I think are both good skills to have.
Don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah, don't take it seriously. Exactly. Which goes along with following your joy.
Yeah.
Maybe your passions.
Your passions. I think passion. Oh, okay. All right, baby's going to say something.
Yeah, so
Justice
for me, passion,
he loves this topic.
Passion is something I would almost suffer for. Something that I'm so into that I would suffer for. That is passion. So the enjoyment and everything else it brings is so good that I could almost sell for free, but just get it.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking to 3-year-olds, I'll tell them passion is something I do just for just.
I like that. Yeah, you do it just
for
them.
Yeah.
Because it's not about anyone else at that
point.
Because you're so caught up with like how good you're feeling about it and how much you want to do it. You're not thinking about, should I?
No.
And you're tapping into that space in your, like, yourself at that time.
Passion, no one can tell you that.
Right.
You can't do it and it's not wrong. Like, literally nothing will stand in your way to pursue your passion.
Right.
And I think maybe it comes down to a question how you find out what you're passionate about. And I think that actually always, we always knew what we're passionate about as kids.
I think, I would say...
It can change,
Yeah, it can change.
It's very contextual because your passion still reflects some of the things that you need.
Yeah. Mm.
Whether that is emotionally or spiritually, however.
It's
allowing you to access some of that, and that is why you're kind of reveling in it. Wow, this is awesome because you're accessing what you need.
Yeah.
It's like drinking a cup of water when you're thirsty. If someone took that cup of water away, you'd stare at them like, what the fuck is wrong? Did you get my water? I need this.
Yeah, I think that's it right there.
Right.
Yeah.
I also have this tool I use to... I mean, it's life coaching tools, and we talk about passion, values, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle and I have gone through it, so we're working together to basically come out of this 7-day coaching session with her purpose. And because she is very, very logical, and she goes all in, we somehow hit it in the middle, so we gotta go.
I just get too deep with shit, and he can't handle it.
So gotta go back and find a way to roll.
It's turning into like 3 months.
Oh my god.
Well, anyway.
Did you?
That's snowballing right there. You'd be like,
I just
be
making him think about stuff he never thought of.
Yeah. I'm like. I'm your coach.
That's
good. Wait a minute. Oh, okay.
Look at me. I'm supposed to be your coach.
Students and teachers are the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're,
you
know you're a teacher when you're still learning.
Yeah. Because
if you're only learning, then it's like, it's not enough.
Oh, be a student.
Yeah, you need
be a student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let your body be the teacher.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's so easy to actually educate yourself with good resources.
Yeah.
That's
like,
just
there's
very
so many,
because so many people don't know. Honestly, there are so few people with a college education.
Yes.
Let alone an education.
Yeah.
That some people think a resource is their gut feeling that they had yesterday while they were jealous at someone else.
Yeah.
Or even their mom who's a drunk alcoholic who doesn't talk to no one.
Yeah,
but definitely that of being able to find reliable,
like the library,
resources.
Is the shit.
It's public.
The library is the shit.
Sometimes
okay?
They got printers there. Sometimes
right.
Print
when
stuff.
Is the library not free?
Yeah.
Sometimes you
free.
Got books you owe.
Oh.
Or like if you have to pay tuition to go to a school, then the library is technically not free.
Oh.
Right.
First of all, I would like to ask Mom. What their takeaway intention has been from this conversation?
My takeaway has been that people need to do 2 simple things before they actually try to actively do something outside of themselves.
Ooh.
They need to do these 2 things internally. They need to
check it, write it down.
Make time for themselves, actual alone time, so that there's no sound or noise, and noise includes, you know, random assignments or bills or something lying around next to you. Like, actually be alone in a room or space and then figure out what they want. Because once they kind of figured those things out, they kind of then tapped into ways they can make change for the people around them. Like, oh, I want, for example, my sister to be happy. But it took time to get there to that point, and then figuring out ways to do that is more realistic rather than saying, I want all the people of Hong Kong to be happy. Because I do, genuinely, and I'm always going to want to. But what I can do right now, honestly, is I can call my sister up and make her laugh. And I know that moment she's happy versus me trying to make the people in Hong Kong happy by doing all these other things that might either be novel to me or I've never done well enough, and then it becomes stressful and I'm not helping them out, and there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
Can I just add to those wants? You can also want to take a nap.
Yeah.
You can also want to go on a walk when you're in that quiet space. Like, it can just be that too, where you can literally just be still and like, I have an itch, or I want to wash my hair. Like, even starting with those things, because that's just awareness.
Right. It makes so much room for all these other emotions in your body to finally process, instead of having it be this overwhelming feeling all the time whenever any emotion comes up, like in general. So it's nice to take that slower pace to come to a better awareness, to then be able to make change in yourself to affect the world outside of you.
And I want to say, like, that sounds easy, or it might, or maybe it doesn't, but like, that was something that I struggled with a lot recently, up until recently, and even still. When mom would be like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't actually know what I want to do. But like, when you start actually being able to fill in those blanks with something simple, like, yeah, I want to take a shower right now, so I'm going to take a shower.
Yeah.
Like,
keep it simple.
That,
start there.
That is so empowering in and of itself.
Yes.
Like, man, I just took a shower and I feel great.
Yeah.
And then that, like, it just extends into the rest of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't feel more pressure now.
Yeah.
Or like you're on a clock to come up with an idea. Because
right.
there's, when there's an opportunity
it's
to say, what do you want to do? They, like, you have that whole time of where you could be doing what you want to do about thinking about the things you want to do.
Yes.
That's something you could do. Like, that's even an option. But then it's really easy to more so get crippled with just the thought of, I need to figure out what I want to do. And then you don't.
Ooh, you know what helps? Being by yourself, but, like, not... I mean, this goes without saying, but, like, when you are by yourself, not being on social media, because that's not being alone.
Yeah.
Nope.
You really have to just be by yourself and figure out, like, allow your own thoughts to come to you.
I think
not be scared of them.
What the both of you are trying to say is that have the want, have asked that question, but have the want actually followed by an action.
Yeah.
Correct.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
So first, come up with, ask that question yourself, think about a few things, and then have it actually followed by an action.
Mm-hmm.
So
intuition followed by action. In the direction of your passion. And listen to Danielle.
Okay.
And then another final note really is that just to,
that's a note
just
for
to remember. Final note to remember though is that behavior serves two purposes. It communicates with the external world, and it also lets you really understand and see what's going on with your own awareness. So remember to consider your behaviors, whether that's your thoughts and thinking, whether that's your exercise routines, whether that's your work schedule, whether that's your play life, whatever it is, consider about how all those things communicate with the world around it and also help you build your own awareness and your own feelings around what's going on at the same time. So this is an ongoing conversation. Feel free to reach out to us on Instagram.
This should fix everything.
Also on Twitter.
Not the book, but...
And there's a blank there because it's called
the abstract.
So we're ones would understand.
You get it.
Definitely feel free to also check out past episodes, such as the first episode of the coping methods, because all of this is in line with each other and all of them are necessary to be taken together eventually, because you need to build small things with small steps in order to get to bigger and greater places. Now use all your resources. The abstract is one of them. We love you guys. Danielle and Justice, thank you guys for coming out, having this beautiful conversation.
We
thank
love
you.
Y'all.
Appreciate
love
your
you.
Minds.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for hosting us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure reading this portion of the abstract with y'all. This is Mom.
This is Penny.
Have a beautiful day, y'all.
I feel like the world is going to end in gentrification. It's trying to transplant all these kinds of ideals and ways of life that don't necessarily belong everywhere, and then it's just super destructive.
The gradual decline via access to certain resources too, so not necessarily gentrification, but because the earth is evicting us.
Not being in touch with the land because we're not in touch with ourselves.
Women should be world leaders. If something wrong is going on, then your body will tell you.